And I'm James.
And welcome to
Let's Talk.
So lovely to have you back. So
episode two.
I know. Feels like it's been forever.
Probably has, though, the way we're recording
Probably
it.
Probably has. So this week we are talking all things theatre, which I feel like it's a great place to start for this podcast because theatre is, you know, the essence of acting and the performing arts, you know. So, first of all, what is theatre? Well, for those of you that don't know, theatre is any sort of live performance in a big venue. I guess you could have like...
Well, you could have little venues, can't you?
Yeah. Venues, yeah. Any sort of venues.
I thought you were then going to give me like a full-on dictionary definition of theatre, and then it kind of didn't turn out that way.
No, it really didn't. I was like... So theatre is... Wait, what is it again?
But I think that's the important thing about it. I think it is, especially like in 2022, it's so hard to define because we've just had like 2 years of pandemic theatre. So we've had people making things on Zoom. Like the amount of things that I've seen done through Zoom, it's incredible. So I think theatre, and definitely... in the last few years has shifted and changed, but I think that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It's so different. It can be so many things. And like you were saying about venue, the fact that it can be in a large venue, it can be in a small venue, it can be outside, it can be up a tree.
Up a tree, above a pub, in a field.
Oh, the amount of times that I've been to a theatre that I've rocked up and it's a pub and I'm like... I didn't come to drink, I came to watch theatre. Well, I came to drink and watch theatre. And then you go...
I wanted to do both.
Yeah. I can only see one of the things. And then you go up like a staircase in the pub owner's back garden. And then you go up and downstairs and sideways. And then you end up in this little room. And then you're like, am I going to get murdered? I don't know. But tell me that they're not the best shows that you've ever been to. Okay, I saw a really great one the other week, and I was like one of five people in the audience.
Oh wow!
And, oh yeah, but it was absolutely brilliant. It was a one-man show, and But no, I will. For those of you who couldn't interpret Danny's reaction, then her face was very much, James, what are you talking about? Because what I've seen in those theatres is terrible.
I've not seen much above a pub theatre, actually. I've seen a couple of things that, like, friends have done, which was interesting. But what I love is that you can have, like, a one-woman show, one-man show, even, like, above a pub or in the West End, a la Jodie Comer or Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And then you can also have a cast of, like, 50-plus doing 42nd Street, Tap Numbers galore at Drury Lane, and that they're both theatre.
Yeah, well, interestingly, because two of my most recent shows, as we mentioned in the last episode, one was Away in a Danger with you guys, so there was four of us, and then straight after the pandemic, I went into Wendy and Peter Pan at the Leeds Playhouse, and that was a cast of 25 of us, I think there was. And we were so, and that was such a, it's the largest cast I've ever been in professionally. And the sort of the camaraderie that we had together, we all like, we were just so, we were so together for the whole experience. And that's the other great thing about theatre. I think it brings so many different types of performer, types of people together in the audience. Like, I think my favourite thing to do when I go to a show before it starts is just people watch, look around and see who's in the audience because you get right characters.
Yeah, you do. Speaking of who's in the audience, the segues nicely onto what have been your worst theatre audience experiences? Because theatre audiences can be a tricky bunch, as you say. It's an eclectic demographic.
What
Can't
was that?
Speak.
An eclectful?
Eclective, I said. Which I meant to say eclectic. Don't even know what it means.
It's a good job we don't have to talk for a living, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but I totally get what you mean. We are in a room that's full of such a diverse cast of characters. Forgive the pun. But yeah, one of the worst experiences. So I'll talk about two. So from a performing point of view, and I know this is quite controversial at the minute, the idea that as performers, we tend to get really invested in our work and we don't want to be distracted by rustling packets and people shouting out. But I spoke to a friend because they're neurodivergent, and they find that it's really insensitive to ask people with potential disabilities to come to a show and be silent for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I'd never thought of it from that point of view, because it really does wind me up if I hear someone shouting out or talking at me during a show. It just throws me off. But then the moment I started realising, actually, there's people in that audience with varying needs, varying ways that they can be within that 2.5 hour time frame, I started to chill out a bit, Danny.
Oh, well, I'm pleased for you.
But you know what I mean? If someone wants to open a bag of crisps, open a bag of crisps. Me, personally, I'd say open them before you get in the show.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think there's a balance of... Because what... I'll go back to the experiences. One of my experiences in Wendy and Peter Pan, we had someone on the front row, and... I don't want to assume, but I'm pretty certain they literally didn't want to be there, because there was about 5 of them, and on the end it appeared to be Nan, and Nan just sat there with her arms crossed the whole time. From the way the playhouse works, the seats at the side of the stage where I'm talking about are practically on stage.
Oh, God.
And we did have people try and put the feet up on stage, which was funny, but she didn't. She was just sat there with her arms crossed. Mom looked like she got a permanent migraine. And then there was two kids and Dad on the other side. And the two kids were just on the floor playing with... there was a confetti cannon at one point in Act One, and they were just playing with that. And... You literally saw in the parents' face, this is 2.5 hours of me being able to just sit down and do nothing because something's happening around them. But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But then from audience perspective, worst experience, I think I saw Shrek at the Liverpool Empire. And the sound quality was terrible, so you couldn't hear. And it was Shrek the musical, for those of you who don't know the show. There's some absolute bangers in there. Like, I love the show. I think it's one of my favourite shows of all time, to be honest. But the theatre, and I love the Empire. I think it's a beautiful space. And we weren't too far back. We were in the stalls, but we weren't like right at the back or anything. But you just couldn't hear anything. And it was just a really bad... It was the touring show. And I'm always wary of touring shows because they have to get in and get out so quickly sometimes. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen it where the quality dips a little.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just really bad. And then they kept letting people in after the show had started, which I'm always really dubious about. Like, if you need to shine a torch to get someone to the seat safely, they probably shouldn't be coming in, because one, they're disturbing the show, and two, they might hurt themselves trying to get to the seat or someone else.
Yeah,
so that
true.
Put me in a bad mood. And then there was a few rows back, there was a really loud elderly couple. It's all about the elderly today. So we had the granny at the playhouse with her arms folded, and then we got these two who literally started having an argument about what they should and shouldn't be doing at the theatre with each other. And people were turning around and going, "Shut up!" And I'm pretty sure someone did turn around at one point and go, "Oh, shut the f*** up." So it was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I think that's my worst experiences, both on and off stage. What about you?
Well, probably not worst, as in it wasn't that bad of an experience, but it was just so funny. But I think it would have been bad for the people around. So I was on stage, and my friends came to watch. This was in Love Letters, the show I did last summer, which was a jukebox musical. It's really fun, at the Queen's in Essex. And it was like, they've got a very loyal local audience and they love coming. They come out in spades, you know. And at the time, we'd had Freedom Day, but the Queen's were still doing socially distanced seating, which was really good because they've got a lot of elderly audience members. And so they just felt safer doing that. So my mate sat in, like you say, the front couple of rows were really close to the stage, and then there was like a big barrier, a walkway, and then there's the rest of the auditorium. So you can see whoever's in the front three rows really clearly from the stage. So my mates were slap bang in the middle, row B, and then there was a group of ladies just to the, as you're looking at them, to the left of them behind. Obviously they weren't that close because they were being socially distanced. They were pissed as a fart. They were chatting the whole way through, and it was quite funny because my mates were obviously taking it really seriously because I was in the show. And you know, when I'm doing a big number, they're sitting there with the bottom lip going like crying. And it was so sweet. But then the people behind them, they would just chat away, and I think they were just a couple of old biddies, like older ladies, just having a really good time with their Prosecco and loving it. But then they made me die because there was one bit, my friends told me this after, and they said, basically there's a scene where the postman in the show comes in and he's soaking wet, and the guy, Mike, who played it, is bald, and he comes in like dripping wet, and so Lucy, the other cast member, sort of dries him off with a towel.
Why did I not see this show? This sounds really hot.
It wasn't sexual. It wasn't weird, I promise.
Oh, it's just me then.
She's drying him off with a towel. He's in his clothes. He's fully clothed. Drying him off with a towel. And the women are sat there and they go, oh, well, don't forget his head. So it's just like the running commentary of them was just so funny.
Honestly, though, the amount of people that come to shows and get mind-numbingly drunk. Do you remember the one from Lichfield that got drunk and told us off because of the sheep?
Yes, so vaguely.
She walked out after, I don't know, did they remove her? I think they removed her. But they removed her, and then she complained to the box, like, not the box office, but the team at the Garrick.
Karen.
And was like, I can't sit through the rest, slurring away through it, obviously. Sit through the rest of this show. There are no sheep on the Cannock Chase.
Yeah.
And yeah, to this day, that's one of my funniest complaints that I've ever had.
Yeah, no sheep on the Cannock Chase.
Well, in fairness, I don't know whether there are.
No, we haven't fact-checked this. But Lucy was in the cast and she lives locally to the theatre we were performing in. And imagine, you know, a big stretch of rural countryside just next to the M6. There may or may not be sheep. We're not sure.
But even if there's not, this was a show in which I was stood on top of a piano pretending it was a cathedral. I just give us some artistic
the
life.
Realism was there.
You know, shattered. But anyway, she didn't have a good time. But she was mind-numbingly drunk. Like,
yeah.
The last thing, I don't mind it so much if you paid like 10 quid for a fringe ticket and you're like, you want to have a good night, you're making the most of it, whatever. But when you've paid like 50 quid to go see like a really expensive show and you're just off your face, like...
Oh my God, I've got a story for you. I feel like we are kind of on the audience being bad vibe, which, you know, obviously theatre is, there's a lot more to theatre than that. However, a friend of mine works front of house at a very posh West End theatre.
We won't
name names. And they came home and they said, you'll never guess what we found in the stalls.
Oh no.
Literally, a poo in a cup.
No!
Yeah.
Actual poo.
Yeah. My questions are, How? Why? Where?
And when?
And when?
Was it a crucial? What do you? Can you say what type of show it was?
A musical.
Oh God! Imagine it was Wicked and Elphaba's just shot up in defying gravity and then. Can you imagine?
This is kind of what we love, though, in a weird way. Not poo in a cup, but we love different audiences coming to different shows. Like, you know, theatre can attract the most quirky, going to use that word again, quirky, you know, interesting, diverse group of people. And actually, there's so much out there. You know, stand-up comedy, I guess, comes under theatre in a way. As well as like fringe stuff, like you say, the regional stuff, touring productions. There's so much out there that
sometimes you just have to poo in a cup.
Sometimes you have to. So now that we've discussed audience experiences within theatre, we're now going to share with you our segment on Let's Talk Videos.
Yes, I love this. I mean, it's such a daft thing that we're sharing something visual on
audio
on an audio podcast. But I just really, guys at home, get the links out. Go on the Facebook. Go on Twitter. Watch these videos with us because honestly, this week's videos. That didn't translate, did it? That was me trying to be like chef's kiss, but it
chef's kiss.
It's like a dying fish, like a or your nan before she puts her teeth in the morning.
Give us the kiss.
Oh, gosh, this has really turned into the elderly episode, hasn't it?
It has, hasn't it?
We might have to do a Let's Talk Old People at some point.
We love the elderly. We do. For all their sins.
All the quirks.
So James has written a little description of his video. But I'm not going to read it out. I just feel like I've got a vibe as to what this video is going to be. And I'm quite scared.
Oh.
Why are they making those noises? Strangest theatre performance ever is the title of this video. Oh! Oh! What's that on his crotch? Oh my goodness. Where is this That's scary. Where is this being performed?
I'm not actually sure. That was the review Lynn Gardner would have given.
Yeah, quite a thrust. Oh my goodness. And what? He's caressing a walking stick and that's becoming a microphone. Oh, now he's sucking it. No, playing it. Playing it. Lovely. Oh my God.
That is from a 2005 performance, I believe, where Maria Chouinard began directing this piece of performance art. And I believe it was titled Body Remix and Les Variations Goldberg. And it basically featured artists performing choreographed dances while wearing costumes with protruding metal objects, as you've just seen.
Yeah.
So I found this video and it made its way around on YouTube in about 2012, I think. I remember looking at it and being like, what is this? And I remember everyone taking the mick out of it. But now as I've got older, I'm like, what is it? It's theatre. It's a combination of dance, movement, expression. And I'm like, do you need to understand it further than that? No.
No, not really.
It literally can mean whatever you want it to mean. And if someone's been through a hard time and, you know, they go and watch that show and go, actually, Yeah, I can relate to that man banging his faux penis against a piece of metal. I can. And I just think we've lost a bit of this exploration, especially with physical movement. And I know DV8 stopped producing work because of the main guy retiring. And to lose DV8 is huge. So I just thought it would be a good idea to bring something a bit more quirky back for my video.
I love it. Very... I've never seen that video.
Have you not? That's mad.
No.
Am I old?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I was alive in 2005.
I was alive in 2005.
I was alive then.
I'm a 90s baby.
When were you born?
Oof.
Was that a 6 or a 7?
A
6. Oh, so you're only... I thought you were way younger than me.
No.
You're only a year... That's mad. Because I'm 95, for those of you who can't math.
Me.
Honestly, me. But that's mad. I thought you were way younger than me. It's because you're youthful. You've got a youthful face.
Oh, thanks, babe. Do you know, I went... When I did this... This is so not for the podcast, but... Someone thought I was 30.
Who? And why are they so disrespectful?
I know. Bearing in mind, I'd just done a performance in their flat, and then we were chatting, and he was plying me with Prosecco. This, like, gorgeous, gorgeous man. And he was also really drunk. And he was like, oh, I thought you were 30, which would make me older than him as well. He was 28.
Ooh.
I was like, rude. So rude. It's just your energy, babe.
I'll give you bloody energy.
What, just because I'm 5'9", you think I'm 30?
Terrible. So Danny's video has a title that I already love. It's Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Specific part of the video, or shall I just hit play?
I think just hit play. If you want to end it anytime, end it.
Here we go. Oh my God, I love it already. Oh, we love a trailer. Yes.
This evening's just performance will commence in 3 minutes. Oh.
Oh. I love the costume.
I mean the budget.
Can imagine. Oh, so good. All that confetti cannon. Oh, my gosh.
It's stunning. All the effects and the production values on that show.
Yeah. Talk me through it. Why did you pick it?
So, this is a trailer for the new-ish now, Moulin Rouge production in town, in London.
The newest production in town.
The newest production in town. And I saw it with my mum in November last year. I just thought it was amazing. I mean, the choreo and the dance performances were just, for me, the best thing about the show. They were just amazing. And even though not a lot of theatre has this kind of budget, just the whole, you know, spectacle of it and the glitz, the glamour, the high kicks, the can-can, like the music, everything was just...
Is that the one with Material Girl... the costume reveal. Is that in it?
I don't think so, unless I'm missing.
Am I thinking of another show? I have seen like a very similar show with a costume reveal and they like rip off a corset and there's another corset and I'm like, oh. But that's the vibe I get from Moulin Rouge, that it'll be this just absolute party of a show. But I love the film. It's one of my all time favourites. If anyone's wants to buy me a ticket.
It's really good. Some of the acting is questionable. That's the only thing I would say.
I think sometimes people go, oh, you can dance and hold a tune really well. The acting will come. I think people treat acting like it's the easy one. And I'm like, actually.
Next up, we are going to talk about our favourite theatre shows that we've seen, things that we want to be in, are kind of best of the best of the theatre world. So, James, what kind of theatre do you just love?
Okay. Ties really well with your video. I love musical theatre. Like, I'm a sucker for good. Not even, you know, these, like, really traditional musicals. Like, I just love silly stuff. Like, I love Spamalot. I love Shrek, like we said. Any funny musicals. But saying that, I'm totally lying to you because I love Sondheim. One of the best musical theatre shows I've ever seen was at the Royal Exchange in Manchester. They did a production of Sweeney Todd, and it was just incredible. They'd done it in like a 50s diner, and they brought, do you know the three-wheeler cars like Del Boy has in Only Fools and Horses?
Yeah.
Like, what are they called?
I don't know.
They've got a name, but those three-wheelers, they had one of those for Pirelli's cart. So Senor Pirelli came in and was like, "I am the Barber of Kings," but came in with in this three-wheeler. It was brilliant. And it was done in the round. What else do I love? One of my all-time favourite shows, and it's actually back at the minute in London for a limited run. It was the show that I was in that got me my agent. It was the show in third year that I had the most to do. It was the biggest show I'd ever done, biggest part I'd ever done. And that's Jerusalem by Jez Butterworth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's currently back on in London with Mark Rylance and Mackenzie Crook, who I went to London the other week, and I've not told you this. In fact, I've not told anybody, really. So we were walking past the theatre, and we walked down the side. We were off to a nightclub, obviously, and I hadn't clocked what time it was. It was post-show, and I was looking at the theatre because it's a beautiful building, absolutely beautiful, and I looked up, and out one of the windows was Mark Rylance.
Oh, my goodness.
Just hanging out, chilling post-show, and I looked up and went, "Oh, it's Mark Rylance." And then literally did a double take, like, "Oh my God, that's Mark Rylance." And literally just gave him a wave. And he was so friendly. He spoke to two of my friends. I was too nervous. I ran off. But yeah, just Mark Rylance chilling out a window.
Oh, nice.
What about you?
Favourite shows I've seen. Well, the sort of stuff I love is, I do love musicals, but I also love theatre that's got a message. Well,
oh,
theatre,
no,
that's a bit political, which I'm not. I'm trying to be better at being political.
Yeah,
but I'm not a very political person. But I love theatre that's a bit, it's got something to say. So I remember I saw Ink by James, I think it's by James Graham, at the Almeida, and that was about the whole, it was Rupert Murdoch, Bertie Carvel was playing Rupert Murdoch. And it was about the whole Page Three scandal when it sort of first started. And that was amazing because there was loads of like physical theatre and using newspapers as like different things, and like piles of newspaper becoming stairs. And then, I don't know, it was just so cool. It was very physical and very, you know, impactful. And then I also saw Angels in America at the National, which is probably the most favourite thing I've ever seen, ever.
Was that the one with Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield, Nathan Lane.
It was the one with Nathan Lane, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah.
I love Nathan Lane. He's so... He's... Who does he play in it? It's...
I can't remember the name of the character, but he's the big... The boss guy.
He's pitch perfect. And, yeah, such a brilliant show. Really important as well. Especially with stuff like It's a Sin coming out now.
Yeah.
And the conversations around what it means to be HIV positive, I think. But that's what theatre's great at doing, isn't it? Holding those messages and presenting them in a digestible form. Because I think if you went around and was like, yeah, this play's about a middle-aged man cheating on his wife, lying and catching a sexually transmitted disease, you'd be like, oh.
Bit intense.
Right. But actually, it's so nuanced. And the same with in any show. I saw Scandal Town at the Lyric Hammersmith the other week. One of the new Mike Bartlett plays. And like you were saying, it was it got little bits of political subtext to it, and I was like, oh gosh, I wanted more. But actually, sometimes just having enough to get you talking is good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what storytelling is, really, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Telling people's stories and getting people to talk about it.
Afterwards. Oh my gosh, did you just tie it back to the title of the podcast?
I think I may have done. I may have gone full circle.
Are we good? Oh, this has been a lovely episode.
Our first proper episode.
Our first proper one where we're not talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
Although we say that, we have literally just spoke about ourselves again, just our experiences.
That is true.
It's got to be personable, Danny. It's got to be.
Yeah, of course. So, James, any final thoughts on theatre before we say our goodbyes?
Yeah, go out. Go watch theatre. Go see the show that you want to see. Go see the show that you don't want to see. Mm. Like, going back to what we were talking about at the start, the little pub shows. Go to that theatre above that old lady's house where you think that you might get arrested in a drug bust or something halfway through. But do it, because I think those are the theatre experiences like you were talking about, just... Mm. With the messages, with the important political things, the relevant things today, what people are experiencing. Mm. I know in Birmingham at the minute there's a huge influx in the stories that are being told by the local sort of creative population. It's so exciting to see these stories finally being heard. Mm. Grime Boys was on at the Rep in town, and my God, it was fantastic. The reaction around it, the buzz, it's just great. So go support these local artists, these culturally diverse shows. Do it. Just get up and go.
And you can also see stuff cheaply. You know, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds to see something in the West End. That's what's great about these pub theatres and smaller venues, but in London, if you're in London, or, you know, regional theatre, you can get tickets for cheap. And a lot of regional theatres do deals, like if you're under a certain age or over a certain age, you know, you can get cheaper tickets.
Student discounts, all that. The other one is ticket lottery stuff, where you enter for a cheap ticket for a big West End show, or just going to the ticket booths in Leicester Square and seeing what cheap tickets are left on the day.
Today Tix, not an ad, but Today Tix always have really good last minute deals.
Plug it. Today Tix, do you want to sponsor us?
Right? I've seen so many West End shows for £25 in the front row because I've literally just got rush tickets on the day. So it's so good.
Thank you for talking theatre.
Thank you for talking theatre. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we will hear from you all next week for Let's Talk Radio.
Bye.
Bye.